turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Something of significance happened today. I will say that. I hope you realize that. But whenever God does something, there's always things that we don't see immediately. I'll illustrate it this way. When God gives me a vision, I've learned that I don't see everything in that vision, so I go and revisit it. And he shows me additional things that I didn't see, that he intended for me to see, but you know how we are. We're always in a rush. We're always assuming things. And so don't assume that God has done what he started today. He's not done. It's an ongoing thing. And part of what we're going to see in the scripture in the coming days and in the teachings and trainings that are on the horizon is to help us to see. Seeing is good, but entering in is the important part. That's where our hearts have to be. Say, yes, Lord. I see and I hear and I want and I will. Amen? Bear with me. I'm still in awe of what God is doing. I'm still feeling the still feeling his wonderful presence. And I'm still burning up. I guess there must be things that need to be burned up. My wife can tell you, I just am not in the habit of drinking very much water. And I don't think she's ever seen me drink a whole bottle of water. And I'm just about done with this one. I'm burning up under the presence of the Lord. And that's a good thing. He wants to keep me going, he said. Well, I prefer that he keeps me going, but I'll accept that as well. Amen. 2 Timothy 1. Paul, as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And this is the bulk of our text today, these three verses. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or of fear, but of love, but of power and love and discipline or a sound mind. Depending on your favorite translation that you read from. Okay. Now, there are many things we plan ahead for in life. We plan or make preparations for various holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, and others. We plan for birthdays, anniversaries, and many other times and events which have meaning and significance to us and for us. And there's a measure of excitement and anticipation associated with these events, as well as preparation for them. Is it possible to begin preparing too far ahead? Most times, probably not, because there can be unanticipated things that arise. Now, I know you might find this hard to believe, but as I was walking through Craigslist this week, something caught my eye, and a number of times people were posting things because they were doing spring cleaning. And I kind of chuckled a little bit to myself because spring isn't until March 20th this year, so it's 64 days from today. So it seems a little early to me to begin doing spring cleaning. That is, unless you have quite a mess to clean. And so I've been thinking also about spiritual spring cleaning, which is what God was. I love it when a plan comes together. That's what God was speaking to us about this morning, a spiritual spring cleaning of sorts. Or preparing for what God is doing and being ready to enter in. So the title of the message is Readied for the Season. R-E-A-D-I-E-D. Ready also with a Y. But what he said to me was readied for the season. And we'll see why that makes a difference. Because the word readied means equipped or readied so that you will be ready. And I think we don't appreciate the depth of the work that Christ has done in us at times. We don't see it as God sees it. And the challenge is to begin to see yourself as he sees you. Because when you do, you're going to act like he is expecting you to act and do what he's expecting you to do. Does that make sense? And so there's a sense of which he has readied each of us for this season, for the here and now, for a time such as this. And we have to start acting like it. We have to start doing something to indicate that we believe him. And one of the definitions I found for readied was prepared or put in a state available for use. So that is particularly applicable for us as Christians, as Christ followers in this day. So let's get right to it. How has he readied you and I? Number one, from verse 5, readied by faith. It says about Timothy, but it also says about you and I, the sincere faith within you. You know, sometimes people don't believe you. Has that ever happened to you? You say something and they don't believe you. Happens to me. And in other words, they don't believe you're sincere. And God says, Paul is saying about Timothy, and God says about you, I see a sincere faith within you. And why does he say that? Because he put it there. He knows it's there because he put it there. 1 Timothy 1:5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Sincere meaning genuine or without hypocrisy. In other words, you're not putting on a show. Your faith is real and sincere. Romans 12:3, just part of it. It says there, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And that word also is translated apportioned, assigned, or divided. So, if we were to paraphrase that, we would say something like, he's given you the faith you need. He's given everyone the faith that they need. Readied by faith. Father will never ask you to do something without providing or having provided the faith to accomplish and believe him for it. And we have the example of in the chapter of the Faith Hall of Fame, they call it, Hebrews 11. It says about Hebrews 11:11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. Here it is. Since she considered him faithful who had promised. See, that's the key. We can't act like we believe him if we don't believe him. Otherwise, we're being phony. Okay? So, we need to step into the faith he's already supplied, and he will do, and we will do great things for him. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits or notable deeds. New American Standards, that was King James, New American Standard, will display strength and take action. In other words, they will do something to acknowledge or come into agreement with what God has already said and what he's already done. So, he has readied us by faith. It's not based on how you feel at the moment. See, that's a mistake. If you live your life based on how you feel, I think many times nothing will happen. Nothing of significance will happen for you in your walk with God or in the fulfillment of what God has planned for your life. But he has readied us by faith. Secondly, and also 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that has overcome our faith. Secondly, from verse 6, readied by grace. And that little expression there that says, kindle afresh the gift, it's, if you do a little homework there, it's talking about the gift of grace, that deposit of grace that each one of us carries, that God has given to us. Because no two of us are alike. We're unique. And the plan that God has for you, it could be similar at times for what he has planned for me, but it won't be exactly the same. And he will give you the grace I don't need your grace. I need the grace he's given me to do what he's called me to do, whether it's to preach, to pastor, or whatever on any given day. So kindle afresh the gift of grace that God has given you is really what that verse is saying. Because you do have a deposit of grace in and on your life that is available whenever and for whatever he calls you to do. And the scripture backs this up. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance of every good deed. You know, sometimes, you know, when God says something, we do this. You talking to me? At least I do. Because the world and your natural understanding says you can't do that. Whatever that God is prompting you to do, whatever the Holy Spirit in you is stirring up for you to do, you think you can't do it here. But when we come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and what the Scripture says that God has done and how he's equipped us or readied us, instead of saying no can do, we say yes can do. By grace. You know, I think there are, this is hot off the press. I think there are grace opportunities in our lives. Things that happen to you that is an opportunity for God's grace to come forth. I'll illustrate it this way. I'm generally a pretty calm person. I'm not known for having too short a fuse. Well, when the Lord was prospering my business and the money was flowing, I was able to purchase brand new trucks for my business. And honestly, I didn't even drive a lot of those new trucks. But I gave one of my employees the truck, brand new. He drove it before I drove it. So he was plowing snow, and then he took it upon himself to go to his own house to plow his driveway, and he crunched the fender. And so he came to me like, what is he going to say? Is he going to, you know, fire me, blow up? So he says, yeah, I know, I did it. I'm responsible. I'll have it fixed. And I said, no, that's okay. And even my wife said, it's a brand new truck. And I said, it's only a truck. You understand? That's the grace of God. That's not me. Even little old calm me. The flesh wants to be justified. The flesh wants payback. You understand? So that is grace. That's an opportunity to extend the grace of God to somebody. I don't take credit for that. You understand? I'm not saying, oh boy, what a spiritual guy. That's the grace of God. And we have to recognize Every day God gives us those opportunities to extend His grace into the people we meet, encounter, work with, and so forth. Because that's the grace God gives us and extends to us. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. And so forth. So, then it goes on to say, we have His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, in other words, let me translate this for us. God knows what He wants you to do. He's prepared it beforehand. He's done the work in you. He's equipped you. He's readied you for that work. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, and not make excuses, or not look at yourself and your inability, but His ability. Amen? So we need to access and extend this grace in which we stand, Romans 5:2, because it's going to be awful necessary. We're going to need it in this day and in the days ahead. Readied for the season. Number 3, from verses 7 and 8, readied by power. He's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of a spirit of power. Take that which is at the beginning of the verse and tag it on to what follows. So He's readied us by power. He's given us the very dunamis power, or the power that God Himself has. He extends to us. I call this power on demand. And this is something guys appreciate. We like to press something and that thing just ready to go, whether it's a tool, a play toy. I know you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. We want it, and we want it now, and we want it to work with full power. And don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. Power on demand is ready to be accessed as the situation requires it. You know, kind of like when you stomp on the gas pedal and the car doesn't go, it goes, like when you're accelerating onto a highway. Don't you love that sound? Well, some of you may not know, but in 2015, we installed a solar system on our south-facing roof on our home. And we haven't paid any electric since June of 2015. The reason being, as long as the sun is shining, power is being produced and accumulated and ultimately stored in the electric grid. There'll be a day when I actually get batteries also, so that when the power goes out, I still have power. See, people think, oh, you have solar power. Yeah, well, when your power goes out, mine does too. But when solar batteries come down in price, I will purchase them. But the idea is that power is available to be accessed on days when there's no sunshine. So, for the believer, because of our relationship with Christ, we have sunshine, S-O-N, and therefore, that power on demand, as we spend time with Him, as we read in the Word, as we worship and do all the things that come along with following Jesus, that power supply is ready at a moment's notice as the situation demands. Because if you're like me, I have an idea of how my day is going to go in the morning. But how many of you know it, your idea of how your day is going to go usually only somewhat matches up with how your day goes? And that usually means I'm going to need power and grace and all these things we're going to talk about in the remaining few moments here. So the believer has an abundant supply of power available on demand, delivered as needed or required. And Ephesians 3 talks about, there's three phrases there, and I ask you to just go and study them a little on your own. It talks firstly in Ephesians 3, 7 about the working of his power. It's talking about his power at work in the believer. It also talks about strengthened, verse 16, Ephesians 3, with power through the Holy Spirit. So, translation, your connection with the Holy Spirit gives you power on demand, to paraphrase. And then finally, in verse 20, Ephesians 3, it says, according to the power at work or working in us. You know, we take for granted the power that's available. Whether or not you plug something into that socket in your home does not mean there's no power through that outlet. It's always available. And so if you're connected, if you're in relationship with Christ, you're going to have what you need for every day's events. And how many of you know you don't want to have a power outage? Because that's when you blow your cork and your witness for Christ. Because you need to continually be filled up. At least that's how it should be. That's his desire for you. So we need to call upon him in our time of need, and he will deliver. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. In the Amplified, but he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy are enough for you. That is sufficient against any danger and to enable you to bear the trouble manfully. Oh yeah, I like that. Like a man. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. We need to allow that power to accomplish God's purposes in us and through us. Number four, readied by love, his agape love. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. Love is the next thing there in that verse. 7, and also later on in 13, it mentions love. His love changes everything. It makes the difference. It is the difference in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of God controls us. You know, that word control actually means hold together. Because we don't have it all together, we need his love. And so his love controls us or holds us together. Beautiful image that Paul is giving us there about the love of Christ. 1 John 4:16-17. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us, because God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this love, love is perfected in us. First John 4:16 in the Amplified. By this we have come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, to understand that essential love, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. But if anyone has this world's goods, resources, and so forth, I'm reading the wrong verse. So forgive me. And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of by observation and experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. Love is a force that can't be stopped. It's what sustains and is and advances God's kingdom. His love is what has, is, and will change the world. You know, it's not going to happen because of who's president or king or any of these things. Don't have faith in who your leaders are, in the sense of they're ultimately going to bring about the change that's necessary. God will ultimately bring about what's necessary. And love is going to accomplish that. Readied for the season. And number 5, finally, thank you for bearing with me. Readied by discipline or a sound mind or sound judgment or self-control is what that actual word means there in verse 7 in 2 Timothy 1. And as I was sitting preparing, the word unflappable came to mind. And that word means having or showing calmness in crisis. And I also heard the expression, steady as she goes, which is a nautical term, which means just continue, stay right on course. And those things are appropriate for the season that we are finding ourselves living in today and tomorrow as well. Romans 12:3, another portion says, think so as to have sound judgment, or sensibly, humbly, committed and submitted to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my paraphrase, not what the Scripture says. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, the idea conveyed there is to not be influenced by the storms of life, by the testing, but by deception and those kind of things. He tells us in Isaiah 26, 3, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because they trust in thee. That should be the driving force behind our thought pattern and consequently behind our behavior as well. So we need to, as Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 exhorts us, run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has been, is, and will continue to prepare or ready his bride. It's a process that's been in motion, and it will continue to be fulfilled. Philippians 2:13, which I quoted earlier, God is at work both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He will continue to prepare and ready his bride for his purposes and for his glory. You know, I would encourage you, I dare to say many of you may read the scripture, but you don't read it out loud. You ought to try that on occasion. The only problem with it is it takes a little longer. But that's all right. What's the rush? Wouldn't you rather have the scripture impact you more deeply than conquer X amount of verses or chapters on any given day? And so, scriptures like this, I'm going to close with this scripture from Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can speak that scripture over your life, over your spouse, over your children, over your church, because I am confident that God has been readying me for this season, getting me ready. You know, it may not be convenient, it may not be comfortable at times. Is that your testimony this morning? What God is asking of you is stretching you, is challenging you, it's pushing you out of your little comfort cozy place. But that's necessary if you're going to grow and flourish and fulfill all that God has ordained and spoken over your life. I am done. I'm undone as well. So thank you. I really, there's a lot here. I tried to rush to finish in 30 or 35 minutes.